Nunquist and I went for a walk on a bright, sunny day. The south wind was gently blowing through Nunquist's braid and whispering in my ears as to tell a story. We came upon a spider's web. The little insect was working so diligently to piece together her home with a most magnificent design. As we sat on the grass and watched Sespica weave her net of magnificent shapes, Nokmus told me all about the web and how we're all connected. The circle of life represents all of Mother Earth. The honor and respect we show the sacred circle also honors the four-legged, the winged ones, the crawlers, and all the bugs. The birch bark tree also contributes with purpose so that the little spider can have something to connect her home to. Nokmus also said that within the circle of life, the plant spirits live, so we must honor and show respect to the trees, bushes, flowers, and grasses. Nokmus told me that when you hold a stone in your hand, you hold the foundations of the web of life. It is the first order of beings upon which all beings depend for life. The trees, grasses, and flowers receive their life from the rocks, waters, and air. Plants are the second order of beings. The animal spirits depend on them. Animals are the third order of beings. The animal spirit gives her own flesh so the younger brother, the human, can live. Humans are the fourth order of beings. These are the four order beings in the circle of life, each interwoven with the other. We must sing a song to all that is in the circle of life. Our song is sent by the north wind to the star peoples, our ancestors, and to all that the web represents. Giving thanks to Mother Earth and Father Sky for all things in life. Nokmus and I sat watching Sespica build her home. Nokmus pulled out her pouch and gave Sespica some tobacco and thanks for the teachings that she gave to us. Nokmus and I continued on our journey, looking for herbs to make tea. We came upon a clearing in the bush. Surrounded the clearing were cedar trees, and within the clearing ran a stream. Nokmus walked up to the old man's cedar and offered tobacco for some cedar boughs for her tea. We then rested by a stream in the clearing. Nokmus asked me to select 7 rocks from the stream and place them in a circle. She said that the Great Spirit gave us the teachings of the 7 rocks called Yikwase Meshomasug, 7 grandfathers. Each rock represents a quality of how we treat ourselves and others. First rock represents wisdom. I must use that wisdom for my people. The second rock represents respect. I must respect everyone, all human persons, and all the things that are created. The third rock represents love. I must love all my brothers and sisters and share with them. The fourth rock represents honesty. I must be honest in every action and provide good feelings in my heart. The fifth rock represents bravery. I must do things even in the most difficult of times. The sixth rock represents humility. I must teach the youth to know that he or she is equal to everyone else, no better or no less, just the same as everybody else. The last rock represents truth. I must be true in everything that I do, be true to myself and true to fellow humans. I must always respect the truth. Nokmus told me to take the rocks, bundle them so that we can take them to Meshomas for his sweat lodge. I took off my jacket and bundled the rocks, and we continued our journey home. Thank you.
Good morning. Welcome you all to worship service at St. Matthew's United Methodist Church this morning. We welcome you all with God's love and Christ's grace. If you have someone with you, please turn around and tell them, I love you so much. If you are alone, then I'm sending my love to you and the love of this community to you. We love you so much. We gather together in Jesus' name. Let us praise the Lord. Let us focus on God and refocus on God's love together. Amen. Amen.
Beloved God, as we gather in your name, we worship you with the whole of our hearts. As we give thanks in the coming week, let us joyfully share our corners with those who are hungry, those who are lonely and lost, those who are ill, those who suffer, all of humankind. We strive and we struggle, O God, to share the love you have for us with all of the world. Please help us. Amen.
Amen. Let us see a wilderness wandering people as we go on our life journey. Sometimes we are wandering, but as we are, praise the Lord with this song, let us think about the purpose of life God has given to us. Let us sing it out, praise the Lord.
Journey on. Good morning, everybody.
Good morning, everybody.
Oh, my goodness. How are you doing this? Well, it's this morning, right? We're recording this in the morning, right?
No, of course it is.
It's the morning. It's Saturday. It's Sunday morning. I can't even remember what day it is.
Sunday morning, it's Thursday.
No, it's Sunday morning. Hey, so I have a question for you, a very simple one, because our passage today is a simple prayer. It just says, have mercy on us, O God. And so it has this word mercy, because praying to God for mercy is something that we do. So what is mercy?
Showing care to someone.
Yeah, that's right. That's exactly right. Showing care to somebody who is in need or needs help. And I think, what does it mean for God to show us mercy? I think one of the ways to understand mercy is to think about when we've seen mercy in our daily lives or maybe in some Bible stories. Josiah, do you want to act out a Bible story to maybe think
about... Oh, yeah. What about the Good Samaritan? That's a pretty good one.
Oh, my goodness. It's almost as if we rehearsed this. Okay, so let's act it out.
Long ago, there was a man traveling down the road, and all of a sudden he was attacked by robbers, and all of his possessions were taken, and he was left for dead. Wounded and bleeding there, he saw a priest come by, but the priest pretended that he didn't even see the injured man. And walked on the other side of the road. And then another man walked by who worked at the temple, but he didn't stop either. At last, a Samaritan came down the road. Even though the injured man was Jewish, and the Samaritans were the enemies of the Jews, the Samaritan stopped anyway. He had compassion on the hurt man. He got off his donkey and bandaged the man's wounds, and then brought his donkey over and put the man on the donkey, and then took him to the nearest inn where he could get some help. And he said to the innkeeper,
"Here's some money. Take care of whatever this man needs."
Hey there. Hey, what did you take for me when you were a robber?
Owl.
You took an owl? What was I doing with an owl in my pocket? What are?
I took a Rubik's Cube.
A Rubik's Cube? Because you can't go anywhere without a Rubik's Cube. And then, of course, there was money, too.
Money,
yeah, we need
of course.
Yeah, but you're going to give that back.
Money.
Thank you, sir. So, that was the story of the Good Samaritan, which many of you may know. And Josiah, you like that story a lot?
Yeah, I was very appreciative. I liked acting it out.
You liked acting it out? I bet you did.
Since I was most of the part.
You were most of the part. Well, that's a good story to talk about what mercy looks like. And remember that the Samaritans were...
their enemies!
That's right. It was the enemies of the Jewish people. And so it was very, like, a big surprise in the story that the Samaritan was the one who was showing the mercy. So it's a reminder for us when we think about God's mercy. Does God care who we are? Does God look at us and say, "You don't deserve my love. You don't deserve my love"?
No. He says, everyone deserves my love.
Yeah, that's right. God shows love to everybody, and it doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter where you've come from. It doesn't matter who you love. It doesn't matter what color skin you have. It doesn't matter how much money you have. It doesn't matter who you are. God loves you. And so because God's love is for everybody, we can remember that when we think about what it means in our own lives. We can pray to God no matter how we're feeling or what's going on in our lives. We can say, "Show us mercy, God." And you know what else? We can show that mercy to others. Because when God loves us, it fills up our love tank so full that it spills out into the world and we can share it with others. And we can share it like that, exactly like that. And we can share it even with those who we might consider to be our enemies or people that we don't know very well. So we can remember that God's love is for everybody, and that means we can show love to everybody as well, because we are God's hands and feet in the world. And God can fill us and our hearts with love so that we can be sharing that with others. Who do you know in your life right now that might need a little extra mercy right now? Or a little bit extra patience? Maybe a brother or a sister, maybe a parent, maybe a child. Who needs mercy right now in your life? And who do we see in our neighborhoods or in our country who need mercy or who we should be showing mercy to? Is there a way in which we can do that? So these are things that we can always be thinking about, because there's so much love that God has for all of us, that it is something that is not meant to just be hoarded and kept to ourselves. It's meant to be shared. So let's pray together and pray for God's mercy. Dear God, thank you so much for showing us mercy. Please help us to show mercy in all parts of our life. Fill our hearts full with so much love that we can't help but share it with others. Amen. Share your love this week. Remember, there is definitely people in your life who could use that love. So be on the lookout and see who needs love this week that you can show mercy to. And we'll see you next week.
A reading from Matthew chapter 3, verses 6 through 17. After his baptism, as Jesus came up out of the water, the heavens were opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and settling on him. And a voice from heaven said, "This is my dearly loved Son, who brings me great joy." Mark 10:33-34. "Listen," Jesus said, "we're going up to Jerusalem, where the Son of Man will be betrayed to the leading priests and the teachers of religious law. They will sentence him to die and hand him over to the Romans. They will mock him, spit on him, flog him, and whip with a whip and kill him. But after 3 days, he will rise again." Matthew 6:10. "Your kingdom come, you will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Amen.
Amen. About a month ago, before we started the stewardship program, I shared with a series of the good news. What was it about? Do you remember? WWJD? Yeah? Does it ring a bell? In order to understand, to know WWJD, we first need to learn what Jesus did. If you remember all three, so please put it on the chat. You know, I'll send you a big gift. What did Jesus do? As we talked about the story of a woman caught in the adultery, we learned that Jesus lowered himself with his compassion and love for her when the people ganged up to accuse her. That was what Jesus did. What would Jesus do? Jesus would refuse to stand with the people or the social system when they gang up to accuse others, especially the unprivileged and the marginalized. Number two, as we talked about the stories of Zacchaeus and the woman at the well and Paul, we learned that Jesus met the broken where they were and embraced them. And that was where transformation started happening. What would Jesus do? Jesus would reach out to the broken, the isolated, the broken, and the desperate where they are, and he would embrace them. And amazing stories of transformation would begin right there. And number three, as we talked about the story about some Pharisees and the teachers of religious law accusing Jesus' disciples for not practicing their tradition of a ceremonial hand washing, we learned that Jesus lived out the purpose of God's love, which was love. While the Pharisees and the teachers of religious law misused or even manipulated God's law and refused the purpose of God in the name of God, Jesus lived out the life of love, which was the purpose of God's law. What would Jesus do? Jesus would erase all the lines we keep drawing by using the religious regulations and laws and even the Word of God. Today I'm going to share the last one of this series. Last year, a door of my parishioners were dying with cancer in Nova Scotia in Canada. One evening, I got a phone call from the mother. "Pastor, I think the time is coming." I started praying, and I got so inspired to visit her in Canada. So I hit the road around 4 a.m., and by the time I was crossing the border, Canadian border, the sun was rising, and the scene was beautiful. After driving for another hour, the same scene. Another hour, same scene. It was challenging to drive for over 8 hours in darkness or to see the same sins again and again. Moreover, I was being emotionally drained with my empathy for her and her parents and her children. But I was able to do it because I had a clear purpose of this trip. I knew why God inspired me to take the trip, be with them, Emmanuel. By the time I arrived at home, it was about 1 o'clock a.m. I stayed awake for 21 hours, but I didn't feel tired that much. I rather felt so grateful that God enabled me to be with her and her parents and children. I was very thankful to God who empowered me to live out God's purpose for my life. Emmanuel, God with us. While I was driving for 16 hours, the Holy Spirit enabled me to reflect on the life of Jesus Christ, which was purpose-driven one. In the Bible, we find many passages indicating the final destination of Jesus Christ, Jesus' journey. The destination of Jesus' journey had been Jerusalem since his baptism. Let me give you some examples. Matthew 16:21. From that time on, Jesus began to explain to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem. Matthew 20:17. Now Jesus was going up to Jerusalem. Matthew 21:1. As Jesus and his disciples approached Jerusalem. Mark 10:32. Jesus and his disciples were on their way up to Jerusalem. Luke 9:53. Jesus was heading for Jerusalem. Luke 13:22. Jesus went through the towns and villages, teaching as he made his way to Jerusalem. That's right. Jesus had the clear purpose, which was going to where? Jerusalem. Why Jerusalem? What was going to happen in Jerusalem? Mark 10:33-34. Listen, Jesus said, we are going to up to Jerusalem, where the Son of Man will be betrayed to the leading priests and the teachers of religious law. They will sentence him to die and hand him over to the Romans. They mock him, spit on him, flog him with the whip, and kill him. But after 3 days, he will rise again. Jesus had the one purpose of his life, which was going to Jerusalem. Why? To die on the cross to save us. And to let God show nothing, even death, can separate us from God's love through his resurrection. Jesus began his public journey, public ministry, at his baptism. The journey towards Jerusalem started from his baptism. What did he hear at his baptism? Matthew 3:16-17. After his baptism, as Jesus came up out of the water, the heavens were opened and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and settling on him. And a voice from heaven said, this is my dearly loved Son who brings me great joy. At his baptism, Jesus began his public ministry that brought great joy to God. Great joy to God. And throughout his whole journey to Jerusalem, Jesus always focused on God's will, and he let God's people experience God's kingdom on earth as it was in heaven. Nothing could change this. His life journey was not like the city highway in Canada. His life was filled with temptations from devil and challenges and tackles of Pharisees and teachers of religious laws. As he promised, Jesus was betrayed. As he prophesied, Jesus was betrayed, mocked, flogged with a whip, and even killed. But he always made the decisions to bring God great joy. What did Jesus do? Jesus had the purpose of his life that pleased God. Jesus had only one purpose of his life, which was bringing God great joy. And he even died on the cross to save us. Why? Because that was God's will. How about you? What is purpose? What is the purpose of your life? Does it bring God great joy? This week, make time and reflect on these two questions. If you have a short memory, please write them down. Please. This week, make time and reflect on these two questions. What is the purpose of my life? What is the purpose of my life? And second question, does it bring God great joy? What is the purpose of my life? Does my the purpose of my life bring God joy? What did Jesus do? Jesus had the purpose of his life that pleased God. And this clear purpose enabled him to overcome all the temptations and challenges that he had to face. With this clear purpose, Jesus always made the decisions to bring God great joy throughout his life journey. My beloved siblings in Christ, now you know what he did. Now you know what Jesus did. What will you do with this message as a Jesus follower this week? Now it's your turn. God bless you all. Amen. Yes, God is calling us to live out the purpose of God for your life. We are called. We are called. Let us praise the Lord. Let us sing it out. We are called. Amen. Amen. It's time to respond to God's grace. Let us take time and count the blessings, all the blessings God has already given to us. While we are counting all the blessings from God, may the Holy Spirit inspire us to be a cheerful giver. Please join me in response to God's grace together. God wants our love more than God wants our offerings. God cares about our heart. Yes, God cares about our heart, not the amount of our offerings. As we count all the blessings God has already given to us, we cheerfully give our offerings to God, the provider, with a grateful heart. Amen. I appreciate in all those who turned in your the pledge card. Yes, we can give to God anytime, any moment. But the pledging means we want to put our first to the Lord. It is our gesture, it is our expression, our heart that we want to give first, not be left over. So if you have not turned in your pledge card, please continue to pray and send it to the church. You revisit the weekly news and you see, you know, how to return your pledge card. So far, we received 56 cards with $256,000. I'm really pro at numbers. So $256,476.10. And we received 87 cards with $357,345 last year. So please take it into your consideration and continue to pray. But I'm telling you, if you feel that you're hesitating, you are not ready yet, then please do not. Continue to pray with me. If you need my prayers, if you'd like to pray with me, please let me know. We'll pray together so that God may open your heart and open your pockets too, so you can be fully, cheerfully give God's blessings back to the Lord. Amen? Amen. One of our ministries here is the Fuel Jars Ministry. You know, under the circumstance, you know, probably you see the last number of the jars there. But we collect them here, and I've been praying for this ministry through the month. You know, I imagine, you know, all our children bring the jar and the coins and put in the jar and pray for all those who will feel God's love through our ministry. So today, we would like to bless these jars and bless our offerings to share our siblings, our neighbors who need to experience God's love is so warm. So we'd like to bless this ministry. Let us pray. Gracious God, yes, Thanksgiving is coming up. As we count all the blessings that you give to us, help us to feel and hear your calling to share your blessings with our neighbors. Lord, we repent. Well, we are so grateful that our house is warm. We forgot all those who suffer from coldness, feel even frozen. Now, Lord, do we make terms? Now, as we repent, or do we decide to share our blessings with our neighbors? And this is one of the ways we do that, Lord. So bless this ministry, the fuel jars. And Lord, continue to inspire us so we can continue to support the people who feel frozen and suffer from the coldness. It's not about just in the house and the temperature. Lord, it is about hearts. As we share our blessings with the people, they may feel your warm-hearted love. They may feel your embracement, your wonderful love. Lord, so we are so grateful that you are giving us this opportunity. Thank you, Lord. We pray all this in the precious name, the powerful name, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. If you are inspired to participate in this ministry, you know, you visit our church website, you know, there is a section that you can offer, you know, your sharings for this ministry on the church website. Also, you always can send a check to the church. You know, put down the fuel jar ministry on the memo. Time to pray together. From Georgia in Kenya, for Antieno, a young girl who has mental issues and has been sick for a while and has been a victim of sexual abuse from the brother, we tried to intervene, but the brother refused. This is my prayer.
This is our prayer.
For Susan, Zuckerman's brother, Mark, who has recently had his gallbladder removed and learned it was cancerous. He's undergoing chemo and is feeling tired, but says he is otherwise okay. This is my prayer.
This is our prayer.
For Julian's cousin, Harriet, who is in the hospital and they are taking tests to find out what is wrong. This is my prayer.
This is our prayer.
Peggy and Nicola, give thanks for our prayers for George. 3 months are going well. You know, this morning, I know Peggy and George are in Boston, you know, for another treatment this morning. So let us continue to hold them up in our prayers. This is my prayer.
This is our prayer.
For Susan Evans' friend, Patty, who is taking on her pancreatic cancer with a determination, but can always use more spiritual support. This is my prayer. Julian asked prayers for a friend who has had a lung cancer and is battling skin cancer and has now been told his PSA levels are high and will be going to have a test this week. This is my prayer.
This is our prayer.
For criminal justice reform with compassion and kindness, this is my prayer.
This is our prayer.
For Kathleen Cecilia's brother, Kirk Redoubt, who is struggling with a heart problem. This is my prayer.
This is our prayer.
For health and healing for our bodies and for our broken society. This is my prayer.
This is our prayer.
For George and Tanya and all the Slum Child Foundation ministries. This is my prayer. Prayers of thanks for Sandra's clear test results after cancer treatments. This is my prayer.
This is our prayer.
Let us pray together. As I'm lighting these candles, we want to pray together. Let us pray the Lord's Prayer together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Let us share the sign of peace with one another. The peace of Christ be with you all. The peace of Christ be with you. Several announcements to share with you. Again, thank you very much all, you know, your leadership, your commitment, your service here in Worship Leaders. And thank you for joining us in worship this morning. If it was your first experience here, please, you know, send me an email at pastor@saint-matthews.org. pastor@saint-matthews.org. You can find it on the church website too. You know, we'd like to get connected to you. You know, we'd like to share the stories, you know, our life stories, our spirit journey stories together. So please send me an email. After the service today, we are not going to have a coffee hour. So we are going to have our church conference with our DS, District Superintendent, Reverend Mac. So please join us. You can find the Zoom link on the church website, the homepage, right there. And also, we sent you this information for the last 4 weeks, you know, for the weekly news. So you can find it there too. And no password is needed. And next Sunday is 29th. We are going to, through the Advent season and Christmas, you know, we are going to have a weekly Holy Communion. So please prepare the bread and the grape juice at home so we can share the Holy Communion every week throughout the whole Advent season and the Christmas Eve. And last summer, so we decided that this goal, $10,000 for the Tree of Life ministry in Kenya, the Slum Child Foundation. So as a church, as a community of faith, as we acknowledge God's blessings for us, we decide to support this Slum Child Foundation ministry in Kenya with the goal $10,000. As of today, we have around $2,500 collected. So please pray for this ministry. And please be part of this ministry. As we are going into the Advent, the Christmas season, probably, you know, you start shopping, you know, Black Friday shopping, I don't know. But like all those, you know, shopping and buying those gifts, please remember this ministry. Those who are suffer from absolute poverty in Kenya. So it can be a way that we can let people experience Jesus born into their lives. So please take into your consideration, pray about this, and be part of this ministry, please. My siblings in Christ, God has given you a purpose of your life. This week, take time and have a conversation with God. And ask these questions. What is the purpose of my life God wants me to live? And does it bring God joy? You are a precious child. I'm sure you want to bring great joy to God. So now go and live it out. And let us continue to bring joy to the Lord, our God, our Lord. Amen. Let us bless each other through this song, the blessing song, together.
So I can play a song.